Hey, I'm Aridney Orca, and I'm here to talk about the bell, the swan, and the golden thread on Long Player. I think I like just spontaneously moved to London really on a whim, and then I am here. So I grew up in Te Tirangi. I love Te Tirangi. I will always return there as like my home base. It's just the most beautiful place I've ever been in the world, and probably will remain so. And then I was in Christchurch when I was in Dokra for a while, and then yeah, I kind of had just always wanted to see what it would be like to make music outside of New Zealand, you know, just to kind of explore the scenes and see what was out there. I think 3 years ago I moved to London, and that was because I had this wonderful life in New Zealand, but I was just like, I know I need to release this album to like a more of an international audience. I just get this weird itch to like see what's out there. So that's kind of the main motivation for coming to the UK. I think the indie project, I guess New Dawn as well. New Dawn and Indie were kind of like, those two were very much me sort of trying to figure out how to produce, I think. And I would say this project is me being able to actually produce what my brain is putting out. Like, I think so much tension in music writing comes from the idea you have in your brain of it, and then what it actually comes out as is like not always the same. But I think this project was exciting because this is almost exactly what my brain was already outputting, I guess, so. I learned a lot about spending time. I think you underestimate the amount of time it takes generally to do something. But I also learned that some songs come out really, really fast, and then other ones come out like really slow. I think I heard someone say it's like a sneeze or an egg. So like something's like a sneeze, it comes out like super fast. When it's an egg, it's like takes a while to crack. I'd never mixed before. Over the 6 years that I was making this, I had gotten a music production job as well. And so I was learning on the job how to like mix things and master things like very fast. Like the turnover was like 1 day, 2 days, just like, I got really good at that. And then it was about, okay, how slick do I want this to sound? Like, I don't know if it wants to be slick. You know, it doesn't have to be always clean. Like mess is cool. Discomfort is cool. Making things sound kind of strange and off-putting, I'm into it. Yeah. This one was the first song I wrote on the album. So I think this is this weird thing that happens with a lot of artists where they're like, oh no, because this has to be the opener, because your brain is like, nothing makes sense before this, if that, you know, like this was the gate, this is the floodgates, you know. But also so funny that I released it 2 years ago. I just got really impatient. I was like, I need to release that. So when I'm writing, I'm like, this has to feel like this. And then I think it is association, right? I think all of our brains are like certain smells, certain sounds. I think I'm very sense-based. When I'm feeling a feeling, everything comes along with that. And I think especially with St. Michael, that one is a lot rooted in like a memory from childhood. That groove, the groove itself is like a bunch of like blacksmith samples. It's funny, I first mapped it out with my voice. I was like, and then I was like thinking about the play. It was like the little gnomes were like doing this march, and they were like welding a sword for St. Michael in the play. And I was like, I need it to sound like these little like welding hands, like all over the march. I think Will-O-The-Wisp was about being like lured somewhere, being enticed by something that's never fully there, something ephemeral. I've always just really liked fairy tale structures. I think there's something so delightfully simple about being like, well, you can't do that because the fox did that and then it all went bad for him. You know, like I was very escapist in my mindset when I was writing this record. I was not in a very good place in my life for a lot of it. And so it was this weird, it was almost like I was retreating into my mind a lot of the time and like pulling up all these like childhood feelings, giving myself a sense of wonder because in my real life I wasn't very happy. When you're going through a lot, I don't think you're really, I'm at least not entirely able to articulate it in a way that faces it head on. I think I I almost like had to write lyrics that felt unrelated. But now in hindsight, I looked at him and I'm like, actually, that's quite clear. But I don't know, I needed to believe I was writing through something else. It's so funny, a lot of people talk about what I do as world building, but I'm not sure I even consciously do it, if that makes sense. I didn't necessarily approach this with a concept. In fact, I think the album sounds quite eclectic. For a while, I was going to make this album very Kate Bush, you know, when she did the Ninth Wave and like the second half of that record. I think I like in my mind was originally going to do that, and I had a couple tracks that were like descending into this like crazy dark place. I realized that I was kind of forcing it. And so I like kind of had to pull back and be like, no, actually what needs to happen is for me to like really let these songs be what they actually want to be.
I remember at 11, you were sent from heaven to me, and the touches of another was like one great sea. Who's killing what it means? Just being I did not understand it. All I felt
I think that I just love an interlude track. For a long time, I had it so like there would like be a bombastic track and then like a really mellow ambient one. And then I kind of flipped and just ended up putting all of these like more intense songs at the start. And so then I was like, okay, I need something to like take us into this next area of experimentalism. So this one I wrote in Berlin. I was in a place called Wannsee, which is near the woods, and it was snowing, I think. Snow had like fallen on the lakes because when they freeze over, like, and the snow falls on them, it just like, it goes pure white. It's the most beautiful thing. I wrote it in like 2 seconds. Basically, I just loaded up my computer because I was like, and I sat down and I immediately found that like weird preset of the like clinkety keyboard. And I just like immediately improvised the thing and then sang over it. And then for ages afterwards, I was like, I need to put this into like a grid. Like it has to have a time signature. It has to have like a beat and a rhythm and something to it. But just the more that I sat with it, the more I realized it was just, it just needed to be exactly what it was. It was such a sneeze. I don't know, that was magic. I mean, Yoked is like so chaotic. That one is like you were saying, like it's full collage. I think I even made it originally as a video. And then I like, so I had all these clips that I'd recorded from places and then I like made it as a video. And then I was like, actually, I kind of want to like extend this into a song, but I was just like, it has to stay like feeling like a bunch of random clips that I recorded from whatever. I think there was like a broken escalator. I think there was someone like, the main beat is someone like banging on a piano with drumsticks in Berlin at like a studio. Every time I kept trying to polish it and like make it into like more like clean pop, I was like, ooh, I had to like keep dragging it back to like the really abrasive stuff. Thank you. I can talk about that one. Mm. So that one is about someone who died. Yeah, I guess I was processing those feelings. I stayed up really late one night and did that whole thing as well in kind of one go. And that one was kind of strange because I'd originally started with me experimenting with like the attack on like 808s. I feel like I was just so interested in like clustering them. And I was getting really into like putting things on multiple tracks and then panning them really weirdly. So that one started as that experiment, but then, you know, when you're writing and the subject matter suddenly kind of takes you over and you're like, whoa, this is a lot. So yeah, I was processing a lot of grief and I was like super isolated at the time. I kind of separated myself from like everyone who would have been in my support net. I just moved to Berlin and I didn't know anyone. I was super lonely. It's interesting. I think grief, like you're not very good at processing it when you don't have anyone around to process it with. And also I think it's almost easier to process grief if it's someone you really had only positive associations with. I think it's harder when it's like it's a more complex relationship.
Done. Bullshit.
I think this song, I was so happy. I was actually like going through some kind of strange mania when I wrote it. I felt like kind of invincible, which was probably unhealthy. It was when I like decided to like move to London and stuff. I was like, ah, and I just started learning the harp. And so it was the first song that I wrote specifically on harp. This song is for me very special because it is a time in my life where I was just like golden. Do you know those times in your life where you're like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is happiness, like complete, absolute. Yeah. I think it's the closest thing to a love song I have ever written and maybe will ever write.
Bind me in silken robe so pearly underneath the moon. She watched us flit and sweat and salt the soaking ground right through. I held your shaking limbs until the light came swanning in. No sticky honey filled and hot I lick the morning dew off. I bear love. Too late.